Blog Talk Radio.
Load 16 tons, what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store.
Welcome to the Wealth Money Radio Show, brought to you by WealthMoney.org. Byron Dale and Greg Soderbergh are your hosts. This is the only program that addresses the destructive consequences of using a debt money system. Financial slavery is the result when all money is created and put into circulation through loans. How interest grows the debt, but not the money supply, and the effects that interest and debt has on our lives. If you would like to join the program and have a question or a comment, please call 347-884-9499. That's 347-884-9499. And now your hosts, Byron Dale and Greg Soderbergh.
What do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store.
Good morning, Byron Dale and Gregory K. Soderbergh, welcoming you to Wealth Money Radio, November 2nd, 2019. Wealth Money Radio is about making things better for everyone. And since it was changed, all money is now created and put into circulation as loans. So we're forced into debt for money to exist. This is involuntary economic servitude. It's anti-freedom. It's anti-American, in my opinion. So I want to see us get the American Transportation Act passed into law, which provides for all new money to be created and spent into circulation debt-free. And you can get a copy of the American Transportation Act online at www.wealthmoney.org. Take it to your federal congressman. Tell them to sponsor the ATA and get it passed. You can also share the ATA with your friends and neighbors face-to-face by telephone, email, and other ways. Just a couple minutes after 10, if you got any questions or comments, let's hear them. Call now. The number is 347-884-9499. So, Byron, do you think the money problem and the solution is pretty easy to understand?
Well, it is if you want to, but a lot of people don't want to. That's a problem. And, you know, and it was amazing. A while back I was talking to a person, and they was interested in how the money worked. And so we talked about it, and that made sense to her, what I said. And she said, well, okay, if it works that way, what kind of a solution could you have, and do you have one? And it appeared to me that she was probably thinking that I wouldn't have one. So I explained what the, according to the Constitution, what the best solution would be. And, of course, if you go to the Constitution, it clearly says Congress shall coin the money. And that word coin is a verb. It means action. So there's some action there. And that's clearly what they meant. They was to do something to create money. And we know that Congress did, because they set forth an agency in the United States Treasury to coin coins. And then later on, they also put in an element there where they would print the money. And it said they should print the money, and they printed the money. But the thing that most people, and there are some groups out there, MMT says that the government creates the money, and that's true. But they never go ahead and say that money is not spent in the circulation. It is only sold to the bankers, who get it for just the cost of printing. So they get to buy $100 bills for 10 cents. And then later on, they go ahead and sell those to the other little banks, all the rest of the banks, and they sell it for face value. And then at the same time, they claim they don't get a profit out of that. And so it's so clear that it's so easy if we would just go ahead and have the government who already has the print press running, if they would just print that up and then spend it into circulation for post offices and post roads, like the Constitution clearly says Congress should do, then we would have an element that would, well, you know, control kind of how much money was created. You couldn't just create it for every little whim that the Congress might want. And then that money would flow into circulation as payment for production done, for something that was done and something that was needed. Because I doubt if there's very many people that haven't gone and used the post office. And I'm pretty sure there's nobody that hasn't been on a road, used a road to get from here to there. And it benefits everybody. It's not just a few, not just a rich few or whatever, but it benefits everybody the way the money goes into circulation. And Greg mentioned that we have written a bill that we would like to get into Congress, and we have a person on the phone right now that he works really hard to try to get his legislator to do that, and I will turn that over to him right now, Nori. I got you clicked in now. Can you tell us how you work to get your congressman to try to get that bill introduced?
I call them on the phone, and I demand that they introduce and sponsor the American Transportation Act. And I called them up yesterday, and I demand that they introduce the American Transportation Act as soon as possible, or I won't vote for them in the next election. They knew that I meant that, and I'm really working hard trying to get them to introduce the bill in Congress. And I keep on at them to do that.
Well, that's really great, Nori, and we appreciate that you do that and you work hard at it. So that we could get people to do that. Now what we need is for a lot more people willing to do that, to take the time to either go see their congressman and their House member on the federal level and request that they do that and request that they look at it. And I understand that Greg has some people who are in the process of doing that right now. And so we will talk to him a little later. We also have a guest on here, Rule, and so now I will bring him in and we'll see what he has to say this morning.
Morning, Rule.
Good morning, Greg. How we doing?
The best we can. Sometimes it ain't good enough.
Greg and I have been texting each other quite a bit here and emailing now that I have an updated email account. And Byron, feel free to email me anytime. If you haven't got my email, Greg can forward it to you and whatnot. But
I will do that.
You know, okay. Yeah, keep me updated. And likewise, you know, this really is the biggest issue. You know, I appreciate the efforts by a lot of people to fend off the to keep the First Amendment, Second Amendment, and what have you. But it really boils down to everything comes back to an economic issue, and you know, economics is the sole, I guess, lifeblood to all freedoms, as we've talked about before. You take a person's right away to earn, keep, and save their own money. They don't have any chance to defend any other rights or to keep them, safeguard them, practice them, what have you. And we see it in the courts every day. And, you know, it's interesting. I pulled up an article last week, I think it was, and I sent Greg a copy of it. But the United Nations even has a web page. They have people fighting. You know, they say that the debt on people is the biggest human rights issue we face. And I got to thinking, well, why can't we use that, you know, as a legal grounds to go against these people that are taking our, you know, our ability to earn, keep, and, you know, our living. Does that have any chance at all?
Oh, I don't think so. We there's always a chance if you get enough people willing to address it and talk about it. And but you know, the person I was telling about a minute ago, it clearly that person understood that that's right. But then her last comment was, if something can't go on forever, it won't go on forever. But see, I've thought about that very comment a lot. And I think that this is money systems is kind of a little different because
yeah.
I know I have personal information from the Library of Congress and from the Federal Reserve System, and it's clear that they have the power to reduce or write off any debt that they determine is not payable. So if it gets bad to where it's really bad, then they can start writing off the debt, and it will look a lot better, but we have no idea whose debt they'll write off, probably some big corporation or something like that that can go on you know, they're sure that they'll keep doing the things that the bankers want them to do or the banking system wants them to do. So that could go on a lot longer than most people would believe because there are so many other things that they can do as well as just create money. And they could write off a lot of debt. Well, if they wrote off a lot of debt, then when you looked it up like on the debt clock, oh my gosh, the debt's going down where we're getting better. But that don't mean we've not quit creating money all this debt. It's just that some of the debt gets written off by the Federal Reserve for whoever they think might be the most beneficiary by having their debt left off. And I'm guaranteeing it wouldn't be the average person. And all these things need to be addressed and very seldom is addressed. So these are things that we need to discuss also. And again, trying to get people to address it and think about it. I've had an opportunity to address this with quite a few people lately, and they all see how bad it is, but they really just don't seem to have the willpower to take it on and say, okay, we'll help you do something to change it. I never hear that. I hear, well, that's really bad and all this, but I don't hear any comment. And the only thing that I felt that was any kind of positive, we sent a redress of grievance to the Attorney General of the United States, and we got a letter back, which is the first time I've got a letter back from anybody, and they said they would look into it, but that don't mean they're going to do anything. And they had a list of all kinds of people that could look into it. It was amazing to me, but it wasn't just the Attorney General's office, but the Attorney General of this and that and the other. I mean, it went on for quite a while in the letter I got back. But it was at least interesting that somebody said they might look at it. Now, whether that'll happen or whether they'll do anything about it or not, because it's pretty hard to believe anybody could be more powerful than the banking system who owns all the money all the time and everybody else borrows it and pays interest to use it. And, of course, obviously, they could, as I've said, they could write it off some. So with that, I'll turn it back to Greg or Rule, whoever wants to say something, and then we'll go from there.
Go ahead, Rule.
Well, I was going to say, you know, you have all these the climate kooks that are taking it to the UN, wanting humanitarian or not human, justice, human rights justice, and they're pushing human rights justice, whether it be for a fair wage, a fair living, gun rights, what have you, and nobody is taking it to the forefront to say, you know, we demand that we have. That we don't have debt money anymore. That is our right, and it's the number one issue that surrounds all the others. But I don't see anybody doing that.
Well,
honestly, I'll give it back to Greg in just a second. I think that we are only the group that actually addresses this issue and have a solution to overcome it. Now go back to Greg.
This human rights thing, in my opinion, is throw it out the window because, where do you get your human rights from? Who decides what human rights are? And the answer to the question is most of that crap came from the United Nations, okay?
Right.
From other men who just decided this is a human right, that's a human right, and I don't like that human right anymore, so we're going to take that. And you see, the thing about America is that we got our rights from God, and he's the only one that can take them away from us. And so, I don't really like to deal with the United Nations, because I like to deal with America. America should lead the world, not the United Nations. We shouldn't take a back seat. We were given the opportunity to do that when we were created as a nation. Unfortunately, we haven't maintained our vigilance over what we're supposed to be doing. Read the preamble of the Constitution. It's not very long. It'll take you about 60 seconds to read it. That's what we're supposed to be doing. The other thing is, like Nori Barton, I've been trying to get my U.S. Congressman Jim Hagedorn to sponsor the American Transportation Act. Last week, I think I told you that I went to see him. He wasn't there. I talked to a really good aide that he had. I left him a copy of the American Transportation Act and four books. Numbered in sequence that he should read also. And so I went in yesterday again, followed up. It's important that you follow up once you start doing these things. Otherwise, they'll forget about you. So you got to kind of keep pestering them. And it's kind of like a squeaky wheel gets the grease, But anyway, so I went in there, and he said that their Washington team was looking at the materials. And when they get back to him, he'll let me know what they say. And I guess that was okay. I don't really know what a Washington team is. I didn't vote for a Washington team. I voted for a U.S. congressman. And I'm wondering when they get back to me if their opinion, decision, whatever you want to call it, regarding the material, is that my representation in Congress, the Washington team, or is it my U.S. congressman who I voted for, and did my U.S. congressman have anything to do with the Washington team's opinion, decision, or whatever they come up with? So it kind of begs the question. We touched on a little bit before. I think I was talking to Byron about some little group up in the cities here, the governor and a couple other boys have their own little group and make some decisions about things. Things are supposed to happen in a certain way in our constitutional republic, and I'm thankful, believe me, that they're looking at the stuff, looking at the bill, but when they talked to me about the Washington team, these questions arose as to who really represents me in Congress, my congressman or my Washington
Greg,
team.
Well, if I understand it right, the Washington team should and probably is the people who work under him, and because a lot of them do their own investigation, and I was listening to a congressman on TV a while back, and he was talking about his people were doing a lot of that background checking for him, looking at things, and digging into it,
right,
and trying to find more. And in my opinion, that's probably what his Washington team is. It's the guys down there that work for him, and he gives them assignments to, see what you can think of this and what you think of that, and how would this work and these kind of things. And I think that's probably what it is. But at the same time, if that Washington team was really, really going to investigate, they'd also contact you and try to find a little bit more about what they was discussing rather than just wiggling around and trying to find it out for themselves, because it's a lot of the Federal Reserve and stuff like that don't like them messing around that way. they don't, a lot of the Fed's letters don't tell the truth, and some of them do. And right. Now, I personally, and Greg does too, have letters from the Treasury, people who worked in the Treasury doing it, and they explained that how it does work, and they all agreed that money is created as loans. And sometimes the Federal Reserve does that too, and in other times they do not. So it's kind of hard to really understand back here just exactly what that Washington team would be doing for him, but that would be my concept of it. So I'll turn it back to Drew or whoever. Go ahead.
Well, I understand that. It's just I want to know, the problem is our congressmen are doing so many things that they shouldn't be doing. That they have so much on their plate that their cup runneth over, and so they have to have all kinds of other people deciding crap for them. And so, we need Congress people that aren't doing so much that they can't focus on some of the things, the constitutional things they're supposed to be focusing on. I mean, it's just I want to know how much input did my congressman really have, or did he just, remember that time we were in the elevator in Washington, D.C., and Alphonse D'Amato comes into the elevator with us. He's got two aides with him. And he says, we don't want that bill. And his aides go, we do. We do? Yeah. Well, we looked at it, and we think it's a good bill. He says, okay, so let's go vote for it then. So here you got a representative of the people who isn't really representing the people. He's allowing somebody else to represent the people because he ain't researched it enough himself. I mean, how can we – we don't vote for these congressmen and senators, go through these campaigns, listen to their babble about all the wonderful, how great they are and what they're going to do and how they're going to do it, and blah, 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 blah. And then they don't do it. Somebody else does it for them. So this is my concern. But changing the subject a little bit, Rule sent me a video, a John Schaefer, and he's with Sons of Liberty thing, he calls it, and he's a rock musician. It was really good. Talking about the money and talking about the problem with it and what a big deal it is and everything. And I tried to connect with him, which is a very hard thing to do. I have not been successful yet. And then there was another article, and this Ann Corin, she's talking about countries moving away from the U.S. dollar. And so I wanted to connect with her. And, it just seems to me that these folks have a one-way street intentionally where seems like they all get to say to us whatever they want to say, but unlike Wealth Money Radio, who makes it really easy to communicate back with us, it is hell trying to connect with these people, and it's really frustrating. But I wanted to ask Ann, and I wanted to have John come on the show, and maybe we could talk to him some more and increase his understanding of the problem and the solution. But I wanted to ask Ann, what is it that the countries are running away from? What is a dollar? What is a yen? What is a renminbi? What is a mark? And how are they created and put into circulation? And so, what is it they're running away from, and what is it they're running to? So, Rule, you kind of got me started on this. You want to take it from there?
Yeah, I looked into it myself, it's interesting. Even last week, you encouraged me to write a gentleman who talking about our debt so much, and of course he just thinks that God's just gonna intervene in all this stuff. Well, I tried. I used the email address and texted him, and then it came back that it the whatever it is, domain, undeliverable to such and such a domain. And I don't know what's going on. Why is it everybody's just afraid, or they just think they're so popular and important that, hey, you have to go through all these channels. I've tried that even with our own Senate and everything else. It's like, all these people that are spewing all this stuff, it seems like it, like you said, it's a one-way street. It's like, you know, I'm going to do this, and, you know, don't dare challenge my my thinking here. it's really kind of frustrating. And I've written several lawyers before in Montana, and it seems like, boy, when you talk about the money issue, you just don't get a very good response. That kind of tells you something in a way about the heart of mankind, really, when you think about it.
We have another guest here, and I think I should remember his name, but I don't. 601-991-0568. You're on the show if you have any questions or comments.
Byron, can you hear me?
Yes, I got you now. I couldn't
remember. Airline Johnson here.
Gotcha. Okay.
So I don't have a lot of time because I got to make a stop here, but I've been listening the whole show and loving what I'm hearing. And I have a question. How do you spell your name? Is it Rue? Rule? What's your name, sir?
It's Rule. R-U-E-L.
R-U-E-L. And you live where, sir, if I may ask?
Nebraska. Nebraska.
Okay, you're in Nebraska. Because I was just out in Montana last week visiting my oldest son, and so that piqued my attention there. My comment is this, Greg. I'm going to call you later, and we need to set up a conference call with my buddy to talk about how we can politically move stuff forward. That's number one. And number two, I do have a meeting set up with Senator Dan Hall from Burnsville on Thursday, October 12th at 10 a.m. at the new Senate office building. And
November
so I'm
going
to let Byron – no, December 12th.
Okay.
We got time to get ready. And pardon me?
Go ahead, Mike. You said October,
we got time
but you
mean
December.
No, I meant December. Yeah.
Yeah.
We've got time to get your senator, everybody's senator. We got to get them to this meeting and help them all understand what we're trying to accomplish and get a sponsor and see if we can move things forward. And so I want you to put it on your calendar, and Greg, put it on your calendar. And if I have to pick you up, Byron, I will, or Greg, we'll figure it out. We'll make it happen. But we got plenty of time here to prepare for it. And unfortunately, Senator Anderson was not real helpful. I had Senator Hall call Senator Anderson, and he says, well, we have to get more members. And so my question to Senator Hall was, well, how many members do we got to get? 2, 5, 10, 20, all of them?
Yes.
And I said, we're going to start somewhere, and Senator Hall, we're going to start with you, and we're going to take a leadership position here and move things forward. Now, we will invite Senator Anderson, and I suggested to Senator Hall that he talk to Senator Anderson again and say, hey, help me understand this, because I understand that you understand this. So I need your help. And I'm pretty sure he's going to do that. But we had a little misunderstanding. He thought Senator Anderson was a current sponsor of this bill. And I told him we have no sponsors at the moment. We got to get some. And Senator Anderson was a sponsor 15, 20 years ago when he was in the House.
Yep.
And so that is kind of my what happened in the last week. And so I want to share that with you guys. We've got this meeting set up. We're excited about sharing the information. You know, we just got to keep moving forward and doing what we need to do, and that's where we are.
So all Minnesota senators are welcome to attend this meeting if we connect with them, and we can invite any Minnesota senator who wants to come to the meeting?
Yes. And I told Senator Hall we'll be chatting more. I've got to send him a confirmation text, which I will. And they've got these beautiful beautiful conference rooms in that new Senate office building, which is one of the nicest buildings that debt money can buy.
Well, we want to thank you. We want to thank you for borrowing some of that money so it existed so they could tax it from you and pay for that.
Yeah, exactly. But anyway, so we're going to take advantage of that. I'm not sure how many people it fits, but if it's standing room only, so be it. If it, I mean, I can't imagine, you know, not everybody fitting into the room. So so
I can,
you know, that would be
I can
a good
only,
problem to have.
I can only imagine people not fitting into the parking lot.
Yeah, can you imagine? Well, yeah, the yeah, that's the only thing I can imagine as well, for sure.
Because yeah. There's hardly any place to park up there if you're just a lowly individual Minnesota citizen like myself. But, yeah, okay, well, that sounds good. Thanks for all that work, Airline.
Okay, I'm going to keep listening, but if there's something really important, I'll try and pop in, but I got to make a stop here.
All right.
Well, the show won't last too much longer, so go ahead, anybody that Rule or Greg who wants to talk.
Okay.
I think we only got about
take
5 minutes.
Take care, guys. Keep up the good
okay,
work.
Okay, you betcha. Thank you so much for calling in.
So what I wanted to say before the show gets over is I just finished a book. It's called Thank You for Your Service, and with Veterans Day coming up shortly here, you all might want to get a copy of it. It's kind of a different perspective on thanking people for their service. You can get a copy from me for $5, and I'll send it to you in the mail. If you want one, just go to wealthmoney.org. My address is there, and you can get a copy of Thank You for Your Service. Otherwise, I don't know, Rule, you had some good questions in that text message you sent me this morning. I kind of wanted you to ask some of those questions.
Yeah, you know, we keep hearing daily that by the Trump administration. In fact, at a one of his conventions yesterday, he basically attacked back to the Democrats and everybody that he's the best president ever in history. The economy is the best it's ever been. You can go back and look at any and he said that there's everybody's doing way better than they ever have in the creation of the country. And I got to thinking this morning, you know, if that's true, then why do we have to borrow, or why is it so hard to get money in society? Why do you have to work so hard? I don't have it. I'd like to know what kind of mindset and planet he's dreaming of, because if everything is alone, how
well,
in the world?
Well, Trump is a nice guy, but he has a tendency to enlarge a little. That isn't the word I was looking for, but he seems
over
to have he kind of expands it a little bit, in you know, and what he says sometimes. Because if we was really that great, as he says, and the economy is that good, why do we have so terrible many homeless people?
Yeah,
you couldn't. Both things can't be 100% true. Now, I agree with him that in a lot of places we have a lot better economy than we did, and he kind of bases that on the stock market. But the stock market is really no real, thing
nope.
about explaining what the really economy really isn't. That just on what the boys are gambling with, and it really has nothing to do with the real economy that what goes on in the United States. It's just not true, because it's just a bunch of gamblers, and most of it's controlled by the Federal Reserve banks anyway. They can make it go up or go down anytime they want to. And I know a little about that because my wife worked for a brokerage service for a long time, and she was up there at the top of management. So she really did have a lot of knowledge about that. And it's clear that not all those things are happening for everyone. Now, granted, it's some of the countries around it where they got a new business in or a new factory there or something like that, that has clearly helped. But that isn't affecting a lot of people, because I guarantee you there's a lot of people that I know personally that only get about $15 an hour, And you cannot, one person cannot have a household on $15 an hour. It's physically impossible, mentally impossible, monetarily impossible, everything else. At that price, you have to have at least three people in the family earning a wage, or they got to be working for at least two jobs. A lot of people just don't address these things. And I'm for Trump. I think Trump's doing a great job, but he also exaggerates a lot on different issues. But I have no problem with that, because at the same time, he's getting stamped on all the time by the Democrats that's trying to impeach him for every silly little thing that doesn't really exist in reality. And they claim they're doing it constitutionally. And the Constitution clearly says Congress shall have the right to impeach. But see, how can Congress... If it's Congress, it's got to be all the Congress working on this. It can't be just a small group that work in a closed door down in the basement of the Capitol. I'm sorry, that just can't be what the definition of Congress is. If it is, well then what the hell is the sense of having all the rest of them elected?
The other thing about this whole thing is that life is more just about the economy and money. And again, if you go back and read the preamble to our Constitution, one of the intents of that was to promote domestic tranquility. Now, if the economy is doing so well, now I want to know where the domestic tranquility is. Byron's just touching on Democrats hollering at Trump, and you know, we listen to the news and the hooping and hollering and all the contention out there. Life in America is more than just about prosperity. It's about another thing called liberty and another thing called justice and justice for all. And if everything was doing so well in America, those things would be doing well too, and they are not. So there you go, Mr. President.
Well,
go ahead.
Logic only, you know, speaks that we wouldn't still have bills of credit if we had a true economy that was good. Why are we still struggling to get bills of credit, which is a violation of the Article 1, Section 8, Section 10 of the Constitution? You know, we are not supposed to have bills of credit, and we're walking
That's
around
right.
saying, "Oh, the economy is great, but I'm carrying a bunch of debt." And why is debt so hard to get? You know what I mean? I mean,
right. And we're forced into that situation. It's called involuntary economic servitude, and that violates the 13th Amendment. So,
and not,
you know,
only that, if the economy was so good, why is the government has to go and borrow more money here in just a little while?
Yep.
I mean,
That's
if it's
right.
really that good economy, the government, the federal government, shouldn't have to borrow any.
Yep. Yep. And in my opinion, I don't think they should have the ability to borrow money on the credit of the United States. Idiots don't know what to do, don't know how to run a money system. They don't know how to deal with the money when they get it. And it's just an excuse, you know, to not do what they're supposed to be doing, which is to provide a debt-free medium of exchange for the American people so they can work and prosper in their endeavors and be free. And so I don't know why the Constitution lists, first of all, free nation, ability to do whatever the hell it wants to do, and first thing it does is give it the authority to borrow money on the credit of the United States, and then a couple lines later, gives it the authority to create money. I'm going to ask you, if you had the authority to create money, why would you need the authority to borrow money? You know, and that just goes to show you right there the conflict started way back when they were writing that Constitution. Is it going to be free, or are we going to be slaves? And guess what's winning?
Well, Hamilton, you all you have to do is pay attention to what Hamilton did about the very first thing. And I can understand where a brand new country that hasn't got things put together all together yet, you know, see they're short of money. But if they'd had any brains at all, if they can create a bank that can create money, then why in the hell can't the government create the money themselves? I mean, if I have the power to give you the power to do that, then why in the heck wouldn't I have the power to do that myself?
Amen. It's
I mean,
insane.
It's such simple little things as that. My gosh. I mean, if they but go to show you Hamilton was a criminal. He was not against. He was not for the country. He made a lot of speeches and wrote a lot of letters, I understand. But the son of a bitch wasn't honest, because if he would have really been honest, well, it's so clear. If the government can allow somebody to create a bank, it can create money that you can use as a debt. Why in the world can't that same government create that money itself and spend it in?
Yeah, Bill, what do you think?
Well, I think the absurdity in all of it that ought to ignite everyone to action is that, you know, we're being played around like a bunch of little troll dolls on a string, you know, and being told the economy's good and we can print paper, but you have to work hard to try to capture. It'd be one thing if you could capture wealth and work hard and reward yourself, but the trick is you have to work hard to try to capture debt. And to me, that is one of the most absurd tricks on the human being that you could possibly play, because you're tricking them that they're going out and busting their hind end. Even now, you can't get it because it goes to certain people, but
mm-hmm.
you're getting debt. I mean, and that should ignite a bunch of people to say, we're not going to take it anymore, you know?
Well, with that, I'm going to have to say it's getting about time. We're going to have to close up now. Next week and after that, we will go back to where we have an hour's show rather than 30 minutes. And so we're about to be shut off here. So before they go, I want to thank you all for coming on the show and helping us and working with us. And thank you so much. And it's this is our show, and we want to go on. And next week it's going to be longer. And with that, I have to say goodbye.
Byron and Greg want to thank you for listening to the Wealth Money Radio Show. Please visit our website at wealthmoney.org. We would appreciate your support by purchasing the books and materials. Don't just purchase the books, but study the information we have presented and tell others the truth of our debt-based system, the problems interest causes, and the slavery it promotes. Greg, thank you for your support.